wanted to read just a couple of verses from Mark, and because children are important, you see, and sometimes even disciples didn't think they were important enough. But this was a situation in Mark. People were bringing little children to Jesus to have him touch them, but the disciples rebuked them. When Jesus saw this, he was indignant. He said to them, "Let the little children come to me, and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. I tell you the truth, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it." And he took the children in his arms, put his hands on them, and blessed them. I really like that story. The disciples thought their Messiah was too busy to be involved with little children. He's got much more important things on his mind than to worry about little children. And he rebuked the parents and the children for coming to Jesus. But Jesus turned the whole thing around and said, no. He said, "Let them come to me." And he actually used them as a parable. That naive, innocent faith, he says, is actually what you guys need if you want to see or experience the kingdom of God. And he welcomed the children and he took them in his arms and he blessed them. And so today, Dan and Catherine are going to come and just say a few words about why that this morning is important to them. We're going to invite Ben and Anna to come and pray. And I just want to add my prayers and blessing to Joshua and to Dan and Catherine at the same time. So Dan and Catherine, do you want to bring a little one forward and come and say what needs to be said?
Looks a little bit like on my own at the moment. Firstly, I'd like to thank you. There's a lot of people that have come today, especially for this, so I really appreciate you all coming. Well, we both do, so thank you very much. We know a few of you have travelled quite a way as well, so that's really appreciated. The main reason I think that we'd like to dedicate sort of Joshua this morning is because, as far as I'm concerned, he's just been a gift from God. I didn't really realise how much a baby was, how massive a miracle it really is. I didn't realise there were so many things that could go wrong. There's so many little things that have to happen for it all to sort of work. And as you get these sort of like information packs and they tell you what's happening and what's going on within the womb and that, it's just absolutely blown mine and our mind just to see what's going on. And then obviously once he was born and that, to see him over the last 7 months just grow and learn these little things and find out who his mummy and daddy are and all these sort of things. It's just been absolutely incredible. So we just want to thank God in front of God and in front of yourselves, really, and just admit that he is an absolute miracle. We're Christians and believe that all good things come from God.
Amen.
And those of you that know him will know that he's a pretty good thing. He's been called a bonny wee lad and a happy little lad and a happy chappy and all sorts. And we've just been really blessed because he's been absolutely brilliant. But it's been good. There's a lot of women in the room today with little babies, so I won't say how tiring the birth was for me, but risk of getting absolutely pelted. But it's absolutely incredible thing. It's an absolute miracle. Catherine, in my mind, obviously I'm biased, but I believe she's an absolutely fantastic mother.
Absolutely.
She's done a real, real good job with him, and I've tagged along and helped where I can, sort of thing, really. She's been brilliant. And we just want to say as well, part of the reason for dedication is that we know as parents that we can't do it perfectly. Do you know what I mean? I'll stick my hands up and say I've got a whole heap to learn. I've learned more in the last 7 months than I've ever learned in my life. And I know it's always going to change. The moment you get sorted with something, the moment you work something out, it all changes and he decides he wants something different. So we need God's help, basically. And we just want to take this morning an opportunity to sort of like say, God, look, he's your little child as well. And we need your help to bring him up in the way that you would want to and that we would want to. And so hopefully one day he can find his own relationship with God, which we both have and which means the absolute world to us more than anything. And hopefully he can find that too. So that's basically why, from a personal point of view, why we want to dedicate him this morning.
Brilliant, Dan. Just stand a little bit closer, then we'll have a picture of you. And Anna and Ben, do you want to just make your way forward? Have another picture of that as well, please, John.
I wrote something down just so that I don't waffle. Okay, Joshua, my prayer for you today is that you will grow to be a strong, healthy young man, that you may find early on and experience for yourself the unconditional love of your Heavenly Father, that you will know that all your days were ordained before you even came into being. I pray that your journey will be full of fun and that you will always have a lightness in your spirit. I pray that you will have a sound mind and know who you are, and that you may grow into a man of purpose, hope, compassion, and integrity. Joshua, you are a gift from God for Daniel and Catherine. I pray that they will raise you up with sensitivity, strength, and wisdom, that they will show you how to make good decisions and love you through the bad ones. And God, we just bless this family and strengthen them daily. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah, Lord, we just thank you for this little gift from heaven, Lord. Lord, we just offer him up to you this morning. Ask that you will have control over his life. You will look after him. You'll protect him. Wherever he goes, he'll know that your presence is with him. Lord, we ask for wisdom, for good choices in the future. We just ask that you'll bless him with friends, with family, with people around him, godly people that you can look up to and admire, Lord. And Lord, we ask for wisdom and correct decisions for the parents, Lord. For Dan and Catherine, we ask that you'll just bless them, give them wisdom in how to bring him up with your guidance, Lord. And we just ask that you'll be with him for the rest of his life, Lord, and he will know you. Amen.
Amen. And Lord, we just dedicate afresh Joshua to you. Lord, as you've blessed Dan and Catherine with this wonderful gift of life, out of their love for you, they want to say, Lord, he's yours. He's yours. Help Dan, help Catherine, just bring him up, Lord. And with their family around them and with their friends around them, Lord, we pray your blessing on his life and on their lives together. Lord, anoint Dan and Catherine to be excellent parents. Excellent parents. Lord, as Dan says, there's a steep learning curve here, especially with number one. But we just want to pray your blessing and your wisdom. And thank you that they have excellent parents too. And we pray, Lord, that wisdom will be imparted and shared to them too. In the name of Jesus, we pray your blessing and thank you for him. Amen. 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 Bless you. Okay, I wanted to take the opportunity today just to share a few words. And the title of the topic I called Family, A Gift from God. And I realize in saying that can, for some, they've not experienced family as God intended. And I guess in some ways, none of us have really experienced family as God intended. But I just wanted to share a few thoughts on family today, because I think it's really, really important, and I believe God does too. I just don't want to tread on anybody's feet here or toes. I just receive in grace what I'm wanting to say today. But first of all, I wanted to read a passage from Luke chapter 15. And this is the story of the prodigal son. The prodigal son was a son who, at a certain age, he said, Dad, can I have the inheritance which would have been due to me when you die now? I've served you all these years, but I feel I just want to leave home now, and if I had some money to go with me, I would have a good time. And so he left home. Dad gave him the money that would have been due to him, and he just had riotous living. He just spent all his money, had a great time. You imagine drinking, gambling, women, wine, And when it had gone, there was nothing left. And he ended up in a pigsty because he was starving. He was like a refugee. He was starving. And began to eat the food which the pigs were eating because he was so hungry. And then in verse 17 of chapter 15, it says, "And when he came to his senses," there he was sitting in this pigsty. "When he came to his senses, he said, 'How many of my father's hired men have food to spare? And here I am starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired men.' So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him and kissed him. The son said to him, 'Father, I've sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger, sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' So they began to celebrate." Lovely story of God as a father, which I just want to refer to towards the end of my little talk. First of all, as I say, I just want to talk about family. And I want us to see that family is God's gift and family is God's blessing to each one of us. I know that we live in a fallen world. I know that things aren't quite how God intended things to be. Well, maybe that's a bit of an under-exaggeration. They're nowhere near how God intended it to be. I was actually just looking up some statistics and I came across this one that in 2008... only 36% of us in this country were brought up in a home with mum and dad and brothers and sisters. I was quite surprised at that. I thought the percentage would have been quite a bit higher. And it was decades earlier. It was the norm. But just a couple of years ago, just 36% of our population were being brought up in a home with a mum and dad and brothers and sisters with them. And these statistics, I think, are quite a challenge to us, because I'm not actually saying that mum and dad and brothers and sisters is the only type of family or the best way of family even. When the Bible was written, that sort of existence as family didn't exist. I'll touch on that a little bit later too. But I was talking to a pastor friend of mine who goes into a school in Whitley, and he was talking to them about, I don't know what it was about, but he was asking them about their dads, maybe what jobs their dads did or how much time they spent with their dads. And he was getting very little response. And out of the class of 30, there were only two children there that had dads at home. And that's in Reading here. Now, I don't know whether that's normal. It might be normal on Whitley. It might be normal across the town. But I was really shocked and surprised to hear that that was the case. You see, family is important. So I believe we need to encourage and support family ideals along the lines of how God originally intended. But as I say, I'm realistic enough to realize that many of us aren't in that place all of the time. But let me just say this. Let's thank God for our mums and dads. You know, let's be grateful for our mum and dad. Thank God for our grandparents. Let's thank God for our brothers and sisters. You know, we take them for granted too easily and too often. Thank God for our uncles and aunts. Let's thank God for our cousins and that blood-related family. And they might be all over the world. They might be in different parts of this country. But when those blood relatives generally come together, there's that immediate sense of family again. Because they are family. And you are family. And I think we ought to really thank God for that wider family, which so many of us take for granted. In family, as God intended, there's six or seven areas which God, in, you know, family brings and provides. One is security, love, acceptance. Doesn't matter if people go off the rails in family, there's acceptance. There's forgiveness. There's discipline, and there need to be boundaries and disciplines in family. And where people don't have a family experience, these are some of the things which they lack. There's protection. There's provision. And there's just happy times together. And how many of us can look back, if we're a little bit older, and think of those, when we were children, those happy times which we had in a family situation. Or maybe some of us haven't. And I can understand, you know, the loss of that too. Some children in many parts of the world, as well as in the UK, have not had the privilege of a family life. For a range of reasons. Yes, maybe they've been abandoned or orphaned. And in many parts of the world, we just have what they call street kids. These are just little children living on the streets. And I visit Africa quite regularly, and I regularly see these little street kids just eking out a living through begging, maybe through stealing. They always seem happy. But life is not happy for these little guys. They've got no parents. They've got nobody to protect them and care for them. They just having to, as little three-year-olds, five-year-olds and older ones, do the best they can together and just hope that people will feel sorry enough for them to give them some food. And you see them sleeping on the pavements or in the parks. And that's their life. And I was thinking about, you know, whatever our family situation is, I don't think there'll be anybody in this room which would have had a situation as bad as what some of the youngsters in the world are having to face every day. Life's tough for those children. Now, in our country, we have foster children, we have adoption agencies, and they are a real blessing because they can bring children into a family situation. We've got a number of foster parents in the church, but even in fostering, there is just always that lack of security. The future's not certain. They don't know who's going to be their foster mums and dads in the future. God's blessing is for family, for mum. And dad is the best, or dad, to be bringing up their children. All of us who are part of a family, it's God's gift. That's really what I want to get over today. Whether it's been a good family or not such a good family, any part of family, any experience of family, is God's blessing. Thank God for it. I just want to quickly touch on, there's four different types of families. So don't just think that yours is the right one or the odd one out even. There's the nuclear family, the one I described, just 36% in our country, where mum and dad live with children. Relatively recent invention. Wasn't around in Bible times. Actually, just since the Industrial Revolution, what was norm a few decades ago, this nuclear family came into existence, just the last couple of hundred years or so. And as people got more money and became more prosperous, they didn't need the support which they would have needed in the past, so they became more independent and bought or rented their own little houses and brought up their children and family in that way. That's not the most common form of family in the world today. The next one is extended family. A group of relatives, sometimes from three generations, living together, in a geographic proximity, just helping, supporting each other. That would have been family in Bible times. That's how people would have lived in Bible times. And the psalm says God sets the lonely in families and is to bring the isolated, the individuals, into that environment where they can find that protection, care, support, security, love and acceptance in the extended family. And there's people in our church which live in that extended family setting. And it's a blessing. The single parent families, more and more single parent families in our culture, resulting because of divorce, widowed, or sometimes never even married. And it's not an easy environment, and I take my hat off to every single parent. Jackie and I know what it's like as two to bring up children, and when you're just by yourself, it's even more difficult. And I don't think we sometimes realise how hard it can be to be mum and dad and to do all that needs to be done for families in a single parent family. And I wish as a church we could find ways to help support better those in that situation. But I want to say, if you're in that situation, thank God for it. At least you've got a mum or a dad who's able to care and look after you. And this new description of family I've not heard of before, but it's the blended family, where two people who've maybe been previously married, or they certainly got children from other relationships, and they become married and come together and form a new home. And that's the blended family. And so in 21st century Britain, we have family in all shapes and sizes. And LifeSpring Church is made up of families in all different shapes and sizes too. We've got nuclear families, we've got extended families, we've got single parent families, and we've got the blended families. And I just say God wants to bless, because family is God's intention for each one of us. Now, when Joshua arrived, here he is, a few weeks old, a couple became a family. Husband and wife became father and mother. Look at that. Two new roles. Daunting roles. I remember 20-something years ago, 27, 28 years ago, bringing home this little bundle, our firstborn. And it dawned on me, the responsibility for this little life is in Jackie's and my hands. It was safe in the hospital, but he was coming home to our little terraced house. Actually, he only slept in our room one night. We snuffled too much. So he slept in the other bedroom after that. But he was our responsibility. And I don't know how Dan and Catherine felt, but I imagine you feel a bit similarly too. What a blessing. God's entrusted you to bring up this little guy. Out of all the people in the world, he's entrusted Dan and Catherine, the best parents in the world, for Joshua to bring them up. Wow. And it's God's best. Joshua is a gift to Dan and Catherine. And Dan and Catherine are God's gift to Joshua. He won't always think so later on in life. I mean, at the moment, he probably gets most of the things he wants most of the time. But there'll come a time when he will wish Mum and Dad gave him a little bit more when he wanted and everything else. And he might not appreciate the boundaries and the disciplines which for his own good will need to be brought into his life. But Dan and Catherine are God's gift to little Joshua. And because of family, Dan and Catherine, they've got parents. And they will come and bring advice and help bring them up. And grandparents, I'm sure they're going to be willing babysitters and welcome babysitters. And together with uncles and aunts and cousins, because family is a blessing. And little Joshua is born into a big family. Hallelujah. It's the blessing of the Lord. And as Dan and Catherine love God and they love each other, they provide the best environment for little Joshua to grow up, knowing love, security, discipline and acceptance, etc. Don't be swayed by this modern teaching that we're all the same. We're blatantly not. Catherine as a mother can do for Joshua, besides the obvious things, what Dan would never be able to do. And Dan can do for Joshua what Catherine would never be able to do. Because fathers are important and mothers are important. Don't be deceived either. Two same-sex parents might be better than one, but can never give to the child what a father and mother can give. It takes a male and female to make babies. And in God's economy, it takes a male and female to bring babies up into maturity and into adulthood. I fear for this next fatherless generation. So many dads, 28 of those families at that school in Whitley, don't have a dad at home. And please, I'm not judging anybody, but McDonald's dads are not what our children need. They need dads at home to love, dads to discipline, dads to teach, dads to show how to be good dads and good husbands in the future. How else are our sons going to know if there's no models for them to follow? Mothers and fathers provide the best because that's God's way. And God's given them joint responsibility for their children. So family of Dan and Catherine, friends, relations, LifeSpring Church, family is God's gift to us and to the society that we live in. Let's do all we can to protect it and be grateful to God for it. Now I just want to close on a wider picture. All families, whether single parent, nuclear, all of the whole lot, are less than perfect. There's fights, there's arguments, there's wrong decisions, there's mistakes. We say things we don't really mean. We upset each other, but it's still God's best. But the biggest family in the world is a single parent family and an extended family. And it's the family of God. God is our father and mother. And he's the best. And there's a couple of pictures coming up. Look at those ones there. Family of God. Biggest church in America, 30,000 of them gathering. They are the family of God. 200,000, well, part of a church of 200,000 in South America. They are the family of God. But look at these next couple of pictures. A few believers there in China, underground church, for fear of their lives, are meeting in a house. They're my brothers and sisters, and they're your brothers and sisters too. And a little house group or cell in the UK here. Yeah, that's part of the church too. This is the family of God. And it's brilliant to belong to it because he's our father. And when he's our father, it makes each of us brothers and sisters. Some of us may not have had good dads, and we're going to find it hard to relate to God as a dad. But he wants to make it possible for everyone in the world to know him as their father too. He offers what all good dads offer: love, acceptance, forgiveness, security. He wants us to enjoy his gifts, his love, and his blessings. He wants us to know that it is possible to be forgiven for whatever we've done and be cleansed of all the guilt and shame of the past. And we've all messed up. But he wants to be our dad and make us his son. He wants us to know that whatever our background, whatever our personality, we can be a son and daughter to him, and he a father to us. I didn't touch on adoption. There's so much you could say about all these things, but God wants to adopt us, to choose us, to choose you to be part of his family. Yes, we may not be in a good place. We may have turned away from him before, but he wants us to turn back to him. And like that story with the father, longing for his son to return, he's there waiting to receive us too with his arms open wide. And just like that story we read, there's just one simple thing that we all need to do if we want to know God as our father. Because he wants you to be part of his family and to live with him forever. He sent his son to deal with judgment. He sent his son to deal with sin. He sent his son to deal with the issue of hell. He sent his son to deal with eternity so that we could spend the rest of our life in relationship with God. So that when we die, we continue that relationship with him in heaven. He's made that possible through sending Jesus. But there's one simple thing we need to do in order to enjoy and experience that. And that is just the same as that son in that pigsty. The Bible says when he came to his senses, he thought, what am I doing here? There's a family back home and God loves me. And the only way he could ever experience that love of God was to turn around and come back to him and receive his father's love. The Bible calls it repentance. Change of mind, change of thinking, resulting in a change of action. And when we come to him and turn to him, we don't find that stern father with a finger pointed to us or the one with the stick. We find there's a God that's loved us, a God that's been longing for us to come back, a God that just wants to embrace us and say, welcome to my family. I'm going to be the best dad you've ever known. I'm so pleased you've come back to me. I'm so pleased you've come to me for the first time, because there's joy, there's rejoicing in this house when just one sinner, when one person comes to him. And in the story, as you know, they had a party because his son, who had gone, had come back. And there was restoration and reconciliation. And there might be some here today that just haven't ever experienced the Father's love. They've never experienced that sense of salvation and eternal life. They never experienced the worship songs which we sang today. Might have been interesting words, but they weren't real words, because you don't know what that happy day was about when all of a sudden you knew your sins are gone forever, forever dealt with, whatever they were, whatever you did in the future, it's already sorted. There might be some today that want to say, I need him. I need God as my Father. And if you make that opportunity, if you take that opportunity and make that response, Andy's going to lead us in that a little bit later. There's an opportunity there for you to know and to be part of the family of God. God's best family and the biggest family in the world. Let's pray. Lord, I want to thank you that you are an incredible Father. Such an amazing Father that you sent your own Son out of your incredible love for the world which you created. And I want to thank you, Jesus, that you came and through your death on the cross made it possible for us who had wandered far away from God to be restored and reconciled to our Heavenly Father, the Creator of the universe and our God. And I want to thank you, Lord, for this model of family. I want to thank you that you are our